The following is a recording from Maria Barona from iAdvise on Friday, February 26, 2016, at 10 a.m. Central. Megacable, fourth quarter 2015. Good morning. My name is Josh, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Megacable Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After this presentation, we will open a question and answer session. Instructions on how to ask the questions will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I would now like to turn the call over to Kenya Vargas with iAdvise Corporate Communications. Ma'am, please go ahead.
Thank you, Josh, and welcome to Megacable's fourth quarter 2015 conference call. At this time, I would like to introduce the team from Megacable, Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, CEO, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Setter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. The gentlemen will be discussing the quarterly results before taking questions from the audience. Please note that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions. For a complete disclaimer, we ask that you refer to the quarterly release that was issued yesterday. If you didn't receive the information and would like to be added to the Megacable mailing list, please contact us in New York at 212-406-3695. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin his presentation. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Kenya. Good morning, everyone. We appreciate your participation today as we review the full year and the final 3 months of 2015 for the results of the company. 2015 was yet another year of remarkable growth and evolution for Megacable. 2015 was a transcendental year for the Mexican telecom industry overall, as it is the first full year with the implementation of the telecommunications reform. Sales and marketing efforts are crucial elements of our strategy as support our efforts to achieve subscriber growth, increase revenues per subscriber, and reduce churn rates. The efforts of the company sales and marketing models are designed to strengthen market position, as well by offering each of the local markets a combination of price and products that are of great value to the market, as well as promotions tailored specifically to address the preference of those markets, as well as to promote customers' loyalty. Increasing penetration levels throughout all our markets is a direct result of a targeted advertising strategy, which is specifically aimed at expanding the subscriber base. Megacable's advertising efforts also serve to educate customers on the key features of our service offerings as we introduce new products and services into the market. This also has to be backed by customer service with on-time installation and delivery of the promised product. Reliability and performance are key factors for our success. As a result, during the fourth quarter of 2015, Megacable reported revenue and subscriber growth above market average throughout its three core business segments, video, internet, and telephony. The video segment reported the highest subscriber growth in the company's history, with net adds of 188,000 during the quarter, or 7% growth, and with 428,000 net adds year over year, representing 18% growth. The internet segment also grew a robust 8% during the quarter, with 130,000 net adds and 38% year-over-year growth in the number of subscribers, with 500,000 net adds. Growth was driven by aggressive marketing campaigns, very competitive rates, as well as the fastest speeds available in the market. In the telephony segment, we experienced 47,000 net adds during the quarter and 175,000 subscribers year-over-year, a growth of 6% and 24% respectively, to continue increasing our market share despite operating in a very mature market. In terms of financials, Megacable's consolidated service revenues rose 26%, reaching 3.9 billion pesos during the quarter, despite a sluggish economic environment in Mexico as well as increased industry competition. Megacable continued to deliver some of the highest EBITDA margins in the Mexican telecom industry, reaching a consolidated EBITDA of 41% and a cable adjusted EBITDA of 44% during the quarter. The company expects that going forward, it will continue to deliver strong figures in 2016, supported by strong cash flow generation and a prudent financial structure. As it stands, we are confident that the company continues to have the strength and financial resources to continue.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, now we can hear you.
CapEx ended with a 26% ratio versus revenue, and we expect that this trend will continue into 2016 with investments in strategic projects that will keep Megacable at the forefront of technology. Looking ahead, 2016 is very promising in terms of product development and deployment. Megacable expects to continue launching new products while consolidating others, all with the goal of better serving customers and providing them with top communications and entertainment solutions. Megacable is confident in the quality of its network, its products and customer service to enable the company to continue growing while becoming increasingly competitive. Megacable's CPO has risen 24% during the year from 55 pesos at the beginning of 2015 to approximately 68 pesos at the end of February 2016. Now, I will turn the call over to Raimundo Fernandez, who will take you through the highlights of our fourth quarter operating results.
Thank you, Enrique. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your attention as I review the company's operating results. During the quarter, the video, broadband, and telephony subscribers increase was outstanding. Regardless of the analog to digital broadcast conversion, which benefit the company, Megacable managed to present what we believe are very positive results. Regarding digital subscribers, 100% of our main systems are digitized now. Megacable added 394,000 digital subscribers compared to 2014. At the same time, this program possesses the ability to offer subscribers premium packages at lower prices. We continue as well to move forward with this project, which we believe is crucial for Megacable's future in the video segment, and not only because it brings a better product to subscribers, but also because it brings operational efficiency within the company. As Enrique mentioned just a few minutes ago, internet subscriber growth for the period was phenomenal, reaching 500,000 new ads in the year. Again, this was made possible by the quality, good service, and speed of our product. It is important to mention that speeds increased to a minimum of 10 megabits in the major markets, and in general, 20, 50, or 100 megs per second are now offered in all markets across the nation. Complementing the broadband service, the Metro Wi-Fi deployment is operating in most of our markets. At this time, our subscribers are able to connect to the internet both in public areas as well as private locations. It is not surprising that internet has the higher growth rate among the three products, increasing 38% year over year. Telephony continues to grow. This service at a much lower pace, but still managed to reach 47,000 ads and a 6% growth for the quarter. We believe telephony will continue to be driven by the bundle of service which we are offering at this actual. The explanation about this result is great execution and customer service. Our sales channels increased operations by more than 37% over the same period last year, based, as we said, marketing, training, and execution. Let me talk this time about our business segment also, within the massive market. We create the necessary distribution force and the right package to reach small and mid-sized enterprises. As of today, Megacable small and medium-sized business segment has more than 220,000 RGUs, which shall benefit from our video internet as well as telephony offer. Efficiency is measured through growth, but also customer retention. The churn rate for this quarter was slightly higher than for quarter 2014, but still within or even better than industry standards. This despite incredible growth we had over the year. As a result of all these efforts, the company posted a 25% increase in RUs year over year, totaling more than 5.5 million units as of December 31st, 2015, while unique subscribers accounted for more than 3 million, maintaining RUs per unique subscriber over 1.8. In addition to subscriber growth, ARPU did increase in a positive way, reaching 366 pesos, up 5% over third quarter 2015. This was made possible by an adjusting rate, digitalization in general, new and additional HD channels, as well as increase of double and triple play customers. As of today, 30% of our subscribers have a double pass and 26% have triple. Corporate segment, which is served to Metro Carrier, MCM, and OLA, has also incredible quarter, increasing 58% its revenue year over year to 681 million pesos for the quarter and over 2,672 million for the year. This represents 18% of our total revenues today. As we explained before, Megacable creates the necessary infrastructure to achieve this goal within the corporate segment. We also discussed in our previous call, Megacable has been working seriously in order to create a network infrastructure that is able to support the outstanding growth in terms of both customers and traffic. As we also mentioned, capacity is averaging an increase of around 60% compound annual growth rate for the past year period. Due to this switch in customer behavior related to traffic consumption, in 2016, Megacable will complete an entire renewal of its data transport backbone by revamping and redesigning the core layer of its network with five major hubs within our transport ring that will be able to transmit data and video traffic for the years to come. This investment represents a huge breakthrough and is expected to expand the boundaries of Megacable network as well as enable us to achieve additional cost and operational efficiencies. We remain focused on expanding by building new kilometers as well as renewing and enhancing current network kilometers. This enables Megacable to provide newer and enhanced services to a wider audience. Today, the network exceeds 52,000 kilometers with over 7.5 million house passes. That concludes my comments. I'll let Luis wrap things up with some key financials. Luis, please go ahead.
Thank you, Raimundo. I will now provide some additional information on the fourth quarter and the year-end financial results before we move on to your questions. Let me start by mentioning that despite the challenge that comes with the economic impact of the world's volatile environment and the fierce competitive landscape, Megacable has once again been able to successfully achieve solid financial results by being disciplined but flexible and strategic and keeping our eyes and ears on the customer needs and wants. Megacable delivered another period of strong revenue increase as Enrique mentioned, reaching 3.9 billion pesos during the quarter and more than 14.5 billion pesos for the year, meaning growth of 26% and 27% respectively. Comparing Q4 of 2015 versus 2014, cost of services in cable operations increased 27%, mainly affected by currency depreciation on items denominated in U.S. dollars, and 62% for the corporate segment, primarily driven by costs associated to the OLAS CFE project. Consolidated EBITDA reached 1.6 billion pesos in fourth quarter 2015, rising 32% compared to the same period of 2014, and an EBITDA margin of 41%. With this strong quarter, Megacable finalized 2015 fiscal year with 5.8 billion pesos, meaning a 22% growth for a consolidated EBITDA margin of 40%. Adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose to 1.481 billion pesos for the quarter. This is 29% higher than Q4 14, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 44% and 4,467 million pesos with a 45% margin for the entire year. By the end of 2015, Megacable finished with a net debt cash position of 429 million pesos. This is caused mainly by the net debt equation, as we must include the loan involved with the CFE's project, but not the CFE's receivables in our balance sheet, which account basically for the same amount as the loan, and that is around 900 million pesos. This situation will remain until we finish the project and get both associated assets and liabilities out of our financial statements. In the fourth quarter, net income totaled 871 million pesos, reaching 3 billion pesos for the year, or an increase of 18% and 21% respectively. The tax rate finished the year around 23%. During fourth quarter of 2015, CAPEX totaled 874 million, or 22% of the quarter revenues, and the full year reached 3,765 million, or 26% revenues. That concludes our prepared remarks. Operator, we are ready for the Q&A session. Please go ahead.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And our first question comes from Andre Baggio from J.P. Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm interested in understanding a little bit better the ad lock switch off that you said that influenced the fourth quarter additions in the PTV, how that was a positive factor. And just to clarify, if there was any acquisition, any M&A that helped the 4Q numbers.
Yes, Andrea, this is Raimundo. Hello again. Yeah, we have the analog to digital switch at the last part of fourth quarter. That benefit the company during December. We have some of the cities that went through the process at the beginning of December, some at the mid, and the rest, of course, as you know, was at the end of the month. But still, we believe I can tell you that we experienced an increase in sales over that period, that around 40 to 44,000 ads. So if you can look at our numbers, we still managed to have an incredible fourth quarter without considering the analog to digital. Our growth in video wouldn't be around 15.5 or 16% without the analog, pretty close to 16 instead of the 17.5 that we have. So we're happy. You know, at the end we were benefited by the shutdown, but I think the effort of the company did already have a good fourth quarter before we were experiencing that part. As you can see, our net ads in video were solid during the year and were better at the fourth quarter. And if you see what broadband and telephony, they were very in line to what we did before during all the year. So we did have a benefit, but you can count that was not the reason of the success that we have in the fourth quarter. What was the second question?
The second question was, now, if there was any interest from any M&A in the quarter, or was it purely organic growth?
Truly organic. Truly organic.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Adam. Welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Pierre Safa from Goldman Sachs.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for taking my question. So just as a follow-up on this, so just to understand correctly, so you're saying 15th, the switch down from analog, if you excluded that impact, you still would have had 50,000 net adds. Is that correct?
No, what I said was that the impact on the switch from analog was around 45,000 net adds for the quarter. So if you can look at our app on that period that were in video, we have 188,000 net adds. You should look at 130 pretty much net adds of organic growth without having the analog. That's pretty much what we estimate internally within the company. You know, it can be a little bit more, a little bit less, but at the end, we wouldn't be growing 138,000 new ads for the period without any external factor like the switch to digital.
Perfect. Thank you. And then I have just two questions. So the first one is other operations.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, Pierre. We did not hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Oh yes. We can hear you now. Can you repeat
perfect.
The question?
Absolutely. Yes. So I have two questions. The first one is in the other operations, specifically PCTV. PCTV saw a huge increase in EBITDA margin. Okay, it went from 8.3% last year to 30%. Okay, and it seems you were able to really reduce cost of services for PCTV. So I would like to understand why that was, and if you think it's sustainable, and what you expect going forward for the a corporate EBITDA margin, and specifically these other PCTV, Ola, and MCM. So that's the first question. The second question was concerning your dividend policy. So I didn't see any information as to your dividend for 2015 and what your dividend policy is going forward. Those are the two questions. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Pierre. First of all, on PCTV, you have to go back to last year. First of all, in 2014, that was the first period that we had PCTV 100%. And PCTV has changed a lot from what was in 2014 and what was in actually first half of 2015 and what is the end of 2015. So it's three different trends. You have to recall that we have to make a lot of changes in PCTV because there was a huge reduction in terms of customers' revenue. So we had to, of course, do the same on the cost and the SG&A. And that really finally paid back on Q4, but we don't expect EBITDA numbers to be as high as in this quarter. Anyway, we expect to have an EBITDA margin, a decent EBITDA margin, but of course it's not going to be as high as was in this quarter.
Okay, so is an average of the year then more accurate? What is a decent EBITDA margin?
We expect an average of about 8 to 9% margin EBITDA on PCTV. That's basically more our expectations for the long run.
Yeah, what we have in PCTV over there is a margin and a profit of, if I can recall, was like 70 million over 488.
Mm-hmm.
I think when they were looking at an increase in operating and growth, everything was remain in line with the revenue that we have. And 2014, we did not have PCTV for the full year.
Only for the fourth quarter? And was actually net loss in the fourth mm-hmm. quarter because there was a lot of payments to really reduce our cost for the future. So mm-hmm. the impact was taken basically on the fourth quarter in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually PCTV is more like a cost center allocation for Megacable, since we buy a lot of programming from PCTV, and we have a very small markup there for PCTV, just to have enough cash flow to make it function, and we also produce some channels, and we don't make them, we don't try them to make money, we just try them to provide us with programming and have a better farming cost for us. So it's not a really a profitable company per se what we're looking for there. It's more like a service and cost allocation center.
Okay, perfect. And then for MCM
and
OLA?
The dividends,
The dividend policy, we stated that about 3 years ago that the board is aiming at maybe if there is not better use for the cash of the company, do a dividend of about around 15% of the total EBITDA of the company consolidated. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and yeah, regarding the rest of the corporate segment.
I apologize. I'm sorry, I didn't hear. I'm sorry, I apologize. The connection is not very good, so I didn't hear the answer. 15% of consolidated EBITDA.
15%. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the corporate was the other question you asked. Yeah, as Enrique said, CCTV for us is a production company. Is not made for making huge profits or profits at all. We did manage to have a good cost allocation this year. It creates channels for our content and video platform, you know, 5 to 6 and 7 channels that we distribute across Megacable and small operators within Mexico in that part. So we know how to produce, and we have that branch within the company, which is also strategic for us. But what we have is a big growth in Metrocable, which is our carrier and content transport layer company. We expect that to double also, almost double for next year in that part, as well as other areas. Ola, as you mentioned, has a good, very 2015 with a low margin because of the CCE contract that we have, and we are not expecting to grow revenue on that area. In general, as I said, corporates are around 18% of our revenue, you know, and if we put on top of that the small enterprises that we have, we get to 25% of our revenues are coming for small and corporate segments, and we're very proud of that. Of that part. 2016 looks pretty good. We're expecting to grow from something around 2.7 billion to around 3.2 billion for next year, for this year, 2016, just in corporate. So I always like to mention that's part of our success story, that we're able not just to focus on massive market, but every day that we pass, every year that we pass, we are more into the telco industry as well.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press *1 now. Our next question comes from Francisco Quintana from GBM.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for taking my questions. I was wondering if you could provide any sort of guidance on the strength of estimated net additions for 2016, having obviously seen the great performance you guys had in 2015. Also, I have a second question, if I may, related to depreciation expense, as we saw a pretty significant increase this quarter. And I was wondering what was behind this increase and how should we think about it in the future?
Sure, Francisco. Well, first of all, let me give you all the guidance numbers we have for 2016. Related to the revenue, our expectation is to grow around 16 to 17% in revenue. On EBITDA, we expect to grow around 18%. CapEx, we are targeting $260 million for the year, and that will represent around 27.5% of revenues. In terms of subscribers, we are targeting for a growth of around 11% on video subscribers, 27, 28, around that in terms of growth for internet subscribers, and telephony around 25%. RGUs, we expect to grow around 18-19% overall. Basically, that's our guidance for following year, and again, they're really strong growth needed, so it's challenging forecast that we are providing, but we are very optimistic that therefore we will be able to reach them.
Yeah, that's another year of 18% growth, maybe that. But Francisco was asking you also about
the depreciation. Yes, and the appreciation was during the first three quarters of the year, there was a situation where we were not recording the entire depreciation for some of the investments we made. And in the fourth quarter, we had a meeting with the auditors and reviewed the depreciation and really made an adjustment for in the fourth quarter. But our expectation is that that is normalized, and we will be presenting normal numbers or normal depreciation in the months or the quarters going forward.
Perfect. That is very, very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Roberto Garcia from Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. Two questions, if I may. First, it was a bit surprising to see you managed to increase prices for pay TV and broadband. I was wondering if you were planning any further price increases for this year. And then secondly, can you clarify the amount that is related to the CFE contract in your debt and receivables, and when do you expect to collect from this contract? Thank you.
Sure. Regarding prices, we did have an increase on the fourth quarter, at the mid part of the fourth quarter. That was around 4% of our rate on the massive market. You have to remember that even though that we increased 4% on rate, we're still growing at a fast rate with a different mix of products. We're going over the low economic levels in consumer costs. So we're penetrating because of the switch from analog to digital. We sold a lot of video at a competitive price that has a small output than what we had before. So even though we raised prices the last quarter, you cannot count that 4% of the revenue came from the rate. You know, you have to consider the different part of mix that we experienced because of the marketing and campaigns that we did. Going forward for 2016, we're looking at a 3 to 3.5% also increase in rate to continue to keep and maintain our assets on a healthy way, an efficient manner for the company. And regarding the CFE debt receivable, please,
yeah,
you
sure
have more detail on that.
Sure. Right now we have progressed on the CFE project, or at December 31st, actually. It's a 43% progress on the project. And the debt associated with the project is around 900 million pesos, and that's exactly the same amount we have in receivables with CFE. We expect that to grow, and that's going to be during this second quarter of 2016, and hopefully we will be able to get rid of that impact by the end of the third quarter, so hopefully by our numbers that we report for Q3, that will not be there. But the total loan for the CFE is up to $103 million. So that could be close to 1.8 or 1.9 billion pesos, and that's the maximum it can go up to. And because of the way that was structured, we will not collect. Although we are getting the loan, we will not collect from CFE until we finish the project. And that will be late August or September
2016. It's important to mention that the financial cost of this is considered in the price of the project.
Yes, that's already embedded in the cost we presented to CFE's project.
Okay, thank you very much. That's very helpful.
And let me add a little bit about the guidance that we just gave you all about that part. As you all know, we always like to explain and to comment again about the difference between our markets and other pay TV or telco markets like in the U.S. We are still in a country and a market where we expect to grow video and internet, and Mega Cable has been proven to be very efficient in taking that growth of the market and penetrate that both in market share and market penetration on that part. That's why we expect 2016 to be also another great year for the company. You know, pay TV market is going to grow, broadband is going to grow, and even though telephony segment is not going to grow for sure, the bundle of packages were efficient. It should provide us with the growth that we gave you. That's the one that we see, that 25% that we gave you is the one that we're targeting. It is very aggressive, but we want to bundle the package and try to get into that wave of growth. So we still have a lot to do in this market, in this country, to grow in the three segments that we have, plus the corporate that I explained that we should grow at 80% or something like that over this year, just for the metro carrier segment. That's going to give us a very good year. So I just wanted to mention that in addition to the guidance that we said. And I don't think there is any more questions.
We don't know. They had to ask again. Operator, can you ask some more questions, please?
Yes. If anyone would like to ask another question, please press star 1 now. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We now have a follow-up question from Pierre Safa from Goldman Sachs.
Yes, hi. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking a follow-up, if that's okay. Could you please just discuss a little more the impact, is very important, of this CFE project, both on the revenue recognition. So you've discussed, you've explained that you haven't collected anything yet. So could you please discuss the impact in 2016 on that, on your top line? You know, are you going to recognize those revenues in the 3Q15, or when are you recognizing, and what is going to happen to your balance sheet? So do you just see, you know, an elimination in both accounts receivable and the debt? Thank you very much.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for the question. And again, yes, TFE project is a large project, and we want to be very clear on the impact that it's having in our balance sheet and our P&L. But yes, sorry, we have been recognizing, because of the structure of the project, we have to recognize based on the progress of the project. So once we complete a phase, we get an authorization from TFE and the validation that we have finished, and that's how we go with that signature. We go to the bank and get an additional segment of the loan that we have authorized. And every signature that we get means that we can recognize all that as the revenue for that period. And that's the way it's been recognized. So already at December 31st, as I said, we have 43% of the project has already recognized there. So revenue and EBITDA is already there, and that's IFRS way to really do the recognition. So we are very following strict norms, international norms, to recognize that. So we are safe, so don't worry. And the impact will be, yes, that it will grow in both sides, liabilities and assets, will grow the loan in one side and the receivables on the other. So basically at the end they will offset and net out. Uh, I'm not sure that.
Is that okay, Martin?
That was no. That's just yes. I'm not sure that was your question.
Perfect.
That answers your question.
Yeah. So assets and liabilities will be higher by 900 million pesos.
Yes. From today, yes.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Martin Lara from Signum Research.
Good morning. I have two questions. First of all, how do you see your competition from Televisa's recently launched OTT platform? That's the first question. And the second one is, could you please provide the tax rate that you expect for 2016?
Sure, Martin. Sure. I'll give you our view of the blink products and risk, then we'll tell you about the tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
Tax rate. Yes, Televisa launched a blink product, and over the top, that what we, as we looked at, they are taking advantage and trying to get something coming out of the app, of the library that they have. They have a huge library on that segment. We don't see that as something that is going to be a competition to any of our products. Our OTT product is a complement of what we have right now. The Mega Cable Play is targeted to provide more stickiness of our customers by giving them free, non-linear content in general. And the segment that we have and how we look into the future is to have an SVOD system that goes on top of our OTT platform, that we can collect some money of that part and get those advantage of our partners, content partners like Fox Plus, HBO Go. Probably one day we haven't considered or even reject doing something with Netflix or even with Blink somewhere in the future. But right now we don't see that as part of our offer, and it goes in line. I think our offer is way better, because what is said to our content that we provide to subscribers and everything on the OTT that comes from what the customer already paying is getting a free access to over 10,000, 12,000 hours of OTT service with Mega Cable to Televisa content. I understand they are also trying to get, and they have also studio content from that part. We have it, that too. So we're not that far away from what they have in that. Our platform is being in the market already. It's already on the market. We have around 200,000 of our subscribers are already using the platform. As I said, it's mostly targeted for a free VOD, which what we have with our partners like Discovery, Fox, Sony, MTV, etc. That's the one that we have, and our customers seem to be happy so far with that product that we have. Luis, I don't know if you want to say something about the tax rate.
Oh, yeah. No problem. On the tax rate, we expect this year to reach around 24%. The target for 2015 was around 25%, but with deferred taxes that we had from the past, we dropped to 23%. So our expectation for 2016 is around 24%.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. At this time, I'm showing no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back over to Mr. Yamuni for closing remarks.
Well, thank you all, and please note that we appreciate the time you spent on this conference call. As the year commences, we look forward to reaching our goals once again in 2016 and discuss the company once again in April. Until then, please don't hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department if you have any questions or concerns regarding Megacable. Please have a wonderful afternoon and weekend. Thank you very much. See you soon.